The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Adam Heath-Avitable.
This is DKS Podcast, a podcast about dating, sex, and relationships. This week, we'll be talking about arguments. Is it a fight, or is the other person just toxic? Enjoy the show.
Whether you're married or single or poly or ace, or hanging out with swingers back at your place, listen to us as we get no luck on Tinder and Bumble and plenty of yucks, trying and having no luck, because we all know dating kinda sucks.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Dating Kinda Sucks. If you're new to DKS, my name is Adam, and I'm a comedian, writer, and misogynist turned feminist, joined by my co-host Sarah, who is a millennial, travel junkie, and serial dater now in a committed relationship. We're not professionals, doctors, or experts, just two people sharing our perspectives on the world of dating, sex, and relationships.
The first half of every episode is spent catching up on what's happening in our lives, and the second half is reserved for the episode's main topic. So if that's all that brought you here, you can skip through the halfway mark, or you can stick around and enjoy the whole show. Let's get started.
Hi, Adam. Long time no see.
Oh, yeah. It's been, when did I just FaceTime with you yesterday?
This morning. Today.
Was it this morning? It was today.
Professionally, yes, today. Long time no see.
Yes, professionally. I know, because you are all the way in Chile right now.
I am, yeah. I'm first time south of the equator, so I guess that's kind of cool. It's fall here, yeah.
Okay. And so what's that weather like?
It's 70 and sunny every single day, so I'm not complaining.
You must love that so much more than Seattle right now.
Right now, yes.
Yes.
Everyone, I'm here with the group and everyone's like, what are you doing this summer? I keep saying, I'm staying in Seattle where it's nice. I'm not traveling anywhere else. I'm staying home. But and they're like, no, I understand that. That's when it'll be nice. So, but getting the travel out early this year.
Yeah. So, yeah. So you're, that's so crazy to me. It's, you know, and I know logically it makes no sense. It makes no sense, but I always keep thinking that somehow there's some other adjustment to the time zone difference from being south of the equator, like on the other side, like, you know, just like somehow it should change things. And I like, it should now be night and not morning, which I think it you know, it's not, it's the different same time. No. It's just, it's weird to me.
Cause
you just
think that the side of the world, I'm just
right. I know. It's just, it's kind of odd sometimes. So, you're hanging out in Chile, for a while. You're here for there for a month.
Yep. And so, then I'll head back to Seattle. So nothing
probably
too
have
crazy.
two dating kind of sucks episodes from Chile. I'm getting, if we probably most
yeah.
likely
yeah.
Well, that's nice. I'm not in Chile. I'm
You're
just
still
actually
in Utah?
Still in Utah. It just snowed 8 inches over the last day.
Huh.
Which I mean I love the snow as long as I don't have to like go out in it. I like it, and so that's been nice. I'm thinking maybe I should just move somewhere that just snows all the time. As long as I don't have to ever leave.
I thought you hated Vermont because of that.
No, Vermont was nice too when it snowed. When it snowed, it was amazing. Like it was so quiet.
You have
like,
to
snow
leave
was,
the house.
Well, that's obviously the problem. I need to make a house where I don't ever have to leave. So I just need a house where I have everything I need or get things delivered.
Okay.
And have everybody just come to me. I think that's my new life motto is just make everybody come to me. I'm not going anywhere anymore. I mean,
You haven't changed that mentality no. since like we met. That's always kind of been, I'm not driving more than 5 minutes for a date. That's stupid yeah. if it's longer, but.
That's true. I don't think I said it was stupid. I just said that I didn't want to go
You're not
any
doing
further.
It. Yeah.
I'm not doing it. I don't understand. I understand why people would. I just don't want to.
A whole 5 minutes.
I know. Well, and I even had a date two weeks ago. I don't know. Time is a construct. It's not real. But I had a date, and she came out to me. She drove over through the mountains, and came, which is of course the biggest issue here in where I am, and joined me at my version of Ale House here, which is a bar called Melvin's.
Instead of Miller's, it's Melvin's.
Yeah, instead of Miller's, yeah, it's Melvin. Miller's Ale House, this is Melvin's Public House. And so she met me there, and she was great, and we had a great conversation. And, you know, she didn't drink because she had to drive back through the mountains. So she just was drinking like ginger ale while we ate some food and chatted. Great conversation. She was really cool. Thought about maybe trying to plan something next time, maybe me going over there. Even mentioned that, you know, I was like, you know, she was like, well, I have a couch. She goes, I also have a big king bed. You can always just crash here if you want. But that was very nice. And she seemed cool.
But?
Nothing. No, that's the thing. There's no buts except just like I'm the butt, I guess. We chatted a little bit afterwards. We texted a couple times, and then I just kind of went silent. And I mean, I'm sure I can reach back out any minute now. I'm not going to ghost her. Like, I will reply, but
sent a follow up.
No, we did. We texted back and forth, and then she had invited me to St. Patty's Day, something that she was doing at St. Patty's Day. And I said, no, I think I was just going to stay in for St. Patrick's Day, but I appreciated it. And then I don't think I heard from her since, and I haven't said anything back. But I think she made it pretty clear that she likes, like, she works hard during the week. Like, her job is like a, you know, pretty, you know, she's 9 to 5, but she's existed. Yeah, she's just exhausted when she gets home, and she's ready just to relax. And then her weekend, she likes to go out and be social, and that's what she wants to do. And so I think that the fact that I like to just be a hermit is probably an issue. But I just started thinking, you know, I'm only going to be here till the end of May, and then I'm leaving. And I have a lot of things that I'm trying to do in the meantime. And I'm like, why am I even trying to meet people? And
I feel like you like meeting people, though.
I think that's what it is. I enjoy meeting them. Like, I enjoy when I get out and say hi, but then like, it's like doing that extra step of meeting them a second time. I'm like, oh, cool, I met them. Like, they
I know who
cool.
you are. Never again.
I know you are. And you're great, and it'd be fun to hang out again. But like that second time, I feel like just adds an extra step of something to the dynamic. Maybe I don't even know seriousness, because it's a second. You know, it's a second date, basically.
I know.
So I really don't know. I don't know what it is, but yeah. And so I've just been my normal hermit self. I was talking to somebody else on Bumble too, and
okay, just delete the fucking apps then. What are you doing?
But they're fun to meet people. Like that's the
but
downfall.
But you don't want to, because you don't want to meet them a second time. So just fucking delete them until you leave Utah. What are you doing?
I know.
You literally just said what you were gonna do, and now you're still on the apps. That's dumb.
And I'm still on the apps. It is dumb. It's absolutely dumb. Yeah, I know that. Okay. But I just, you know, I'm trying to figure out a balance, because every now and then I do feel like being social. Once every 3 weeks, I'm like, I'm ready to go meet some people.
Well, then hit up the people that you've already met once or twice and do that.
I could do that too.
I remember when you were going to go bowling with a group of people and you said, nah, I don't really feel like it. Where's that group of people?
Yeah, I met them actually at the bar the other night. They were there on that night that I was there for the date. After my date left, there was a guy sat down in the seat where she was, and we were chatting, and he goes, oh, yeah, we met before. And I was like, yeah, you were telling me about the bowling. And he goes, yeah, you know, come by anytime. You're welcome to join us and blah, 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 you know. And, you know, we always have league. We always have somebody we need a spot to fill in and everything. And I was like, oh, that sounds really, really cool. And no, I'm never going to go.
Not even just to talk to them? You don't have to bowl.
Oh, it just feels so awkward. I'm too much of an introvert to just show up at a bowling
alley.
Yeah,
you just fucking said, sometimes I get lonely and I want to talk to people.
Know,
but you won't do that. And that's already people in your
network. That's
when
I'll go sit at the bar and I'll talk to the bartender. And that's might be the extent of my social. But I like meeting people. And then I get in this mindset, oh, yeah, I could do this. And then after a little bit, I'm like, no, I really don't want to do this. And so that's what it is. I psych myself up. And then I realize that I'm an idiot for even trying in the first place.
All right.
And I feel bad because I don't want to waste people's time. But you know, it's good for my mental health to meet people. I know that, but I also know I'm going to be hitting the road again. And when I'm on the road, I'm not going to be meeting anybody really. Like it's because it's not really worth it. So I'll be seeing people I already know. Like, when I, obviously I'm going to come up to the Pacific Northwest, I'm going to see you. I'm going to see friends that I have out there, and you know, and I'll see them, but I'm not going to try to meet new people, because what's the fucking point?
What's the fucking point? Okay. There is no point.
We go.
You're right.
There we go.
No point to be made. The whole conversation just spun right. around and
yeah.
who knows. Yeah.
So that's my life right now.
Cool. Love that for you. Yeah. Well, I guess we can go on to say,
you know, it's funny. So sometimes, like on TikTok or something, someone will be like, "That you know, I really like your videos," you know, and they'll say something like, "Are you single?" And I'll reply and be like, "Yes, but of my own design." And there's a reason for that. Well, I would totally date someone like you, and I'm like, "No, you wouldn't, because I would just be a hermit." Like, that's the thing. And like the person I talk to, I'm sure she would love to go out and you know probably go out every weekend. But here I might say, if she wants to go out something, not this coming weekend, but maybe the weekend after, because that might be when I'm ready to like make the effort again. And, you know, so if she's okay with every 6 weeks us, you know, meeting up, then maybe, you know, then that's fine. But I just otherwise,
most people
yeah,
are not going to be fine with that.
I know that.
Most.
So, but yeah, it's funny that sometimes people ask me that or say that on TikTok and everything. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm like, yeah, I'm not toxic in those ways. But then you come to like my social ability, and unless you're willing to just to move in here and, you know, and hang out here all the time, then we're not going to be compatible at all. So, yeah, there we go.
Poor Adam, but not, because you do it to yourself.
I do it to myself. Yeah, I know, it's my own fucking fault. I know that, and I'm well aware. So,
oh God,
when we last left you.
Oh, I have to say, you were right and I was wrong.
Yes.
I eventually so have to before, get that out
yeah,
of
I was going to say, yes. So I want to appreciate it. I do appreciate that. You were about to head to a bachelorette party in Austin, Texas, and where you were going to be the oldest. And you were already kind of worried about that because you didn't want to drink a lot, and you didn't like you know, you're not in that bachelorette party kind of mentality. But you were like, no, it'll be good. So, yeah, other than saying I was right, why don't you tell us how that went?
Okay, so I listened back to that part of the episode earlier today, and I just want to say I was invited to the bachelorette party, obviously, by a family member, and with the preface of, you can be with the group, you don't have to join if you don't want to for certain things, like, you're free to move around as you please. And I've listened to other people go on bachelorette parties, and it's anything the bride wants to do or die. Like, there's no other options for things you could do. It's your right. job to make sure the bride is happy 24/7. That is the plan. Mm-hmm. So when I got there, clearly that was not my fucking mentality. It was have a good time, explore Austin, have a good time, spend time with family. That's cool. But I got there and one of my other family members showed up and she was like, well, I'm doing whatever she wants to do. And I was like, oh, fuck. Maybe I'm the bad guy here. So I was like feeling like I wasn't super supportive in moments, but I also felt really uncomfortable. So there's that. I'll throw that out there. Is maybe I'm not the best person to attend a bachelorette party, which this is probably my last one I'll ever attend. And previously I attended my sister-in-law's and she was super chill. She was like, do whatever the fuck you want. I don't care. Just show up to this bar at this time. So she was no plans, right. low effort. And this was the opposite of that. So
this is more typical of what I think people think of when they think of the bachelorette event.
Right. Yeah. My bad. So yes, I was the oldest of the group, which that's fine. Whatever. They're going to drink harder than me. Whatever. When I arrived, I flew in a red eye, so I napped when I got there because I arrived at 6 a.m. or something like that. Napped, and then I met everyone up for breakfast, and we went shopping or whatever, and I met two of there were 7 of us total on the trip, so I met 2 of her friends, and everything was fine. And that night, it was pajama night and play games and wait for everyone to arrive and have pizza. And that's when I started to see divides in, oh, interesting. Interesting someone would say that. And I'm not going to name anyone, but I'll say there was one individual on the trip. She was a teacher, so I'm just going to call her the teacher, who I just did not fucking like. And I was trying to...
We'll just call her that bitch.
that bitch. Well, okay. But that bitch, I just didn't like her. And it started off really slow. And I had to check myself of, am I being crazy for feeling this way? Or is she just really not that likable? So it started with, she was obviously a teacher and she was telling a story about, she just got engaged and she was like, yeah, my one student said this and my one student said this and my black student said that. But what her black student said did, like, she did not need to insert race into that. Right. So she makes that comment and everyone just kind of nods their head and I'm thinking, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck? Okay, cool. We're just, I'm not going to say anything. So I'm fucking texting you just like, I feel fucking crazy, whatever. So then later that evening, we're playing a card game and it's, you're trying to collect the most amount of cards. So some of the cards are like, keep this card if you've ever had a one night stand. Keep this card if you've ever da-da-da, or pass the card to someone who da-da-da. So I got a card that said, keep this card if you've ever eaten ass. So I kept the card. Right. Well, the fucking teacher is like, oh my God, you've eaten ass. I was like, oh my God, I know we're not fucking kink shaming or sex shaming anybody here in this room right now. Like, I was just like, oh no, we're not fucking doing this shit. And so the rest of the night, she just kept saying stuff like, oh, because Sarah likes to eat ass. And I'm just like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, your favorite position is fucking missionary. Shut the fuck up. Like, I was just like, I was not fucking having it with this bitch. So everything's still chill. Like, not everyone's there yet. And everyone's also drinking heavily. And it's Thursday night. We have to be there till Sunday. So I'm just drinking water. And I feel like I'm getting, again, could be made up in my mind, but I feel like I was getting a little bit of, oh, you're not going to drink. Oh, you're not going to drink. And I was like, no, like, I'm can drink water if I want, you know. My goal is to make it through the weekend, not to get shit-faced on night one, because I did drink other nights. Right. So there was that. So that was the first night, and then drama ensued when Adriana. She's a family member. Her and I, we went out to get breakfast. We didn't know what time things were going on. We just knew that we needed to be at the Petal Tavern at noon. So we're like, perfect, we're going to grab breakfast, then we're going to go back and change, and then we're going to Uber over to the place. Perfect, great, wonderful. So Chick-fil-A was closed at 10:30, no more breakfast, so we went to eat at another place, went to CVS, grabbed stuff, and we get a text like, hey, we're leaving in 15 minutes. It's like 11:10 or something like that. Not even, you know, we had time. And I'm still in PJ. We're just rocking it in PJs, just woken up type of vibe. And we're like, well, fuck, we're not ready. So we rush back to the hotel and we notice that they're still in their rooms getting ready, even though they said they were leaving in 10 minutes. And as we walk past their room, we hear the bride go, well, that's so on brand for them. And I'm just like, oh, cool. Like, we're talking shit. Like, we heard a little bit of the intro of their conversation, but that's what we heard. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Heard the shit being talked. So Adriana and I are just fucking, I'm laughing. She's fucking pissed. And I'm just like, whatever. We're going to get there on time. We get there 2 minutes before we needed to fucking be there. And I walk out of the Uber and I'm just like, I'm just going to say fuck everything to all of y'all. And I'm like, oh my God, so on brand of us of being late. Just like dropping the phrase on brand like it was, I don't even know. Just
right.
Saying it so, like just every other word is just, oh, that's so on brand. Oh, that's so on brand. And the vibe just, I mean, I'm the bad guy, right? Like, I'm just like, fuck this shit. Whatever. I am the bad guy. Basically ruined the rest of the day. Because that was just the drama of every bar we stopped at for the Petal Tavern. Like, my cousin was like, oh, why couldn't you just check your email and make sure you were on time? And I was like, is this the fucking hill we're gonna die on? We were on time and you guys were talking shit about us and we heard you. So how about everyone just shut the fuck up and just drink? But it was just like soft-spoken drama instead of just dealing with it head-on. I'm like, bitch, just throw hands if you're mad. Don't be like, oh, everything's fine, and then talk shit behind my back. I don't fucking play that game. Like, I'm grown. If you have a problem, say it to my fucking face. Like, let's square up, bitch. So clearly,
And throughout all of this, I'm getting text commentary, by the way, of all of this. Which is
fantastic. Just like, this fucking bitch over here. They said eating ass again over here. So I'm just like, So that was that. Never doing that again.
Right. So now I remember that there was one. Now, was this the teacher, the one who told a guy that he should eat her pussy?
Fuck, I don't even remember. Oh, you said no, that was the maid of honor. She was hot and cold. Yeah, she got shit-faced the entire time. If we couldn't find her, we just knew she was vomiting somewhere, which...
Oh my God.
Not a good look, in my opinion, but who's to judge? But yeah, she was... Because she was the youngest and she's... I mean, there were a couple other single girls, but she was trying to navigate the crowd, get drinks for free, do all of that. And so was the teacher too. Ooh, good story about the teacher. First night, the teacher's like, we're all getting free shots. I never pay for drinks. And I'm like, okay, honey, like, you're not, I'm going to be mean. You're not that fucking cute, but okay, you never pay for drinks. That's cool. So she's like, yeah, we're not paying for drinks here. So she starts handing out these shots and she's like, well, the bartender's giving us these shots for free. And I was like, I'm not drinking tonight. I don't fucking want your drink. So she's like, okay, let's all take shots. So I like take a sip. I'm like, not interested. And 5 minutes later, the bartender's like, yeah, you have to pay for those. I'm not giving you those shots for free. So she got hit with like a bill of $80 and she was mad as fuck. So she turns to like our group and she says, oh, don't worry. Like Sarah will get the next round at the next bar. And I was like, the fuck? I'm not doing that. I don't buy rounds of shots for people on a normal occasion. Like, no, like, you play stupid games, win fucking stupid prizes. I'm sorry you thought you were getting something for free. So she was mad the whole time, and it just translated to, like, everything else. It was like, when we had to split the bill, when it was anything like that, I always got cheated, and she always ended up, like, counting things down to the penny to make it work for her. And I was just like, no, fuck this shit, you know? I'll Venmo you the right amount, but don't try to say I need to pay $30 more than what I actually spent on. So I'm not doing this shit again.
Well, you were mad too, especially because you weren't drinking as much. And so you'd go to dinner and you might not even have a drink, or you might have one and everyone else has a couple rounds, and then It comes time to split the bill. And there's like, let's just split it evenly.
Yeah. And I'm like, somehow, I didn't have two $15 fucking cocktails. Right. I had a water and an appetizer. Like, the fuck? Yeah. So yeah, there was one meal. I didn't know what to do. It was actually the first bill we fully split. I didn't know what to do. So I ended up paying, you know, $30, $40 more than what was actually what I had spent on. And I was really fucking pissed about it. And I was like, it's fine. Like, don't cause, that was early on. I was like, don't cause any issues. Just keep your fucking mouth shut. And then that night at dinner, the same thing tried to happen. I was like, I'm not doing this shit again. Like, fuck you. I'm only paying what I spent money on. This is ridiculous. And yeah, I have money to spend on stuff and I don't mind spending money on things, but don't try to like get the better deal when you spent I don't know. I just think that's kind of rude and unfair in my opinion.
It is. And it's one of those things. That's, I mean, especially with most restaurants and places too, nowadays are so easy to try to make things. I mean, to split things, and it's so easy to do that. And everyone has calculators. How dumb would you have to be to not be able to split the bill properly too?
Well, it was the teacher who couldn't split the bill. And so then the joke that for the night was, I guess she's not a math teacher. So I was just a cunt the whole trip, and that's fine.
Did you actually ever say that publicly? Because I texted you that.
No, that's so good. I did say that publicly to a couple people. And I was like, that joke fucking landed. Obviously, I didn't say it to her. But yeah, it was pretty funny.
I wish you had said it to her. That would have been fantastic.
I mean.
Oh, I guess you're not a math teacher, are you? Like, just that would have been. That was great. I was proud of that one.
It was a good one.
I'm like sitting here like texting you things to say. I'm like, oh, call her this, tell her this. Like, yeah. You managed to survive. So, but yeah. So not doing a bachelorette party again.
I think that's my last one. I can't see myself going on another one like that ever in my life.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Do you think it's because everyone was in their 20s that kind of was the reason? Or do you think it was just the mindset of a bunch of like Florida Republicans?
Both. Yeah. It was interesting. You know, that first night, I mean, I can talk, you and I disagree on the line of if you vote Republican or whatever, but I can talk pretty openly and have strong conversations with family members who did vote for Donald Trump and who do swing more. Not super to the far, far right, but more in between, but moderate. And we actually had some pretty good conversations, but then I realized, oh, know your audience, know where you are. Some people might feel more one way than the other. So then I kind of shut up after that. But we were talking about just banning books and abortion and, you know, the same old things that.
Oh, the fun topics of a bachelorette party that everybody loves to talk about.
Hey, if you get pregnant on this trip, are you going to have an abortion? I don't know. Right. Fuck. So, yeah. Yay.
Okay. So does that mean you won't have a bachelorette party if you ever get married?
No, I said if I ever have a if I ever get married and want to have a bachelorette party thing, I'm just going to spend the day at the spa with 2-3 other people max.
Yeah.
Sit by a pool, drink some champagne or mimosas, and then go through 3 or 4 spa treatments, and it's going to be a 1-day thing. You know, nothing. Yeah. Nothing wild.
Speaking of getting married, too, was that you part of our last our episode a couple? What was it, like 3-4 episodes ago? About marriage. We talked about marriage, about you and Roy and everything and things that you were going to be facing when you went to Florida for the wedding, which was what this bachelorette party was for. Any news on that front?
About me, about going to the wedding? Oh yeah, no, yes. I'm not going to the, I ruined everything. Let's be real.
Didn't ruin everything.
No, but I just feel like my relationship with my family members after that bachelorette party is a little bit on edge, and I might have just like dropped several bombs into the water and they all just exploded at the same time type of vibe. So there's that, and then also I owe the IRS a lot of money. Like, terrible timing to be in another country on a trip, but I started doing my taxes before I left and realized I owe the IRS about $8,000 because of a... Someone put that I was exempt from paying federal taxes, and I am not. I didn't put that, though. Someone else saw my W-4... Clicked the wrong button on the back end.
Button. Oh, wow.
And so now I owe, you know, Uncle Sam some money. So, yeah, I won't be going to the wedding in Florida, and I'll just be staying home with Roy instead. So well, no one will be asking me when I'll be getting married because I won't be going.
That's right. So, well, you know, look at that. Things resolve themselves. And, yay. You know, the bachelorette party has, you know, like, at least you get to see your cousin. Even
but
if
I
you're
feel
not
like that's even worse. Like
the wedding.
No, I'm talking shit right now. Things did not go well during that trip. And then I just said, nah, fuck it. I'm not going to this fucking wedding. I mean, I don't know. I feel like that looks a certain, looks and sounds a certain way. I mean, a cunt. That's it. That's what it is.
I don't think you're as bad as it is you think you are. But I don't know. I refuse to go to weddings anyway, so it doesn't matter. Unless I'm the one officiating it, I'm not going. So
no
it doesn't matter how close I am
that.
To them.
After the tantrum right. went on at the beginning, no one is surprised by that at all. The
tantrum, not even going out on a date. Yeah. Well, then, of course, I'm not going to go to a fucking wedding. Yeah, but that's true. Like, weddings are stupid. I mean, you know, they just generally are, and just a waste of time and effort, you know. So I'd rather just send a gift and not go.
Yeah, but seeing people is nice.
Who?
That's a great question. It's family members that I haven't seen in a long time. My grandpa, who's 93 and...
I feel like you saw your grandpa
a year ago.
Okay. And you saw your brother recently.
Yeah, but I only see my Florida family members once a year. So it just, you know, that kind of sucks not seeing people that often. But I guess that's just getting older and living 3,000 miles away that I chose to do because I hate Florida. So
that's what FaceTime is for.
Do you think my family? No.
No. Grandpa can't FaceTime?
No, my other grandparent can, but no.
Yeah. Well,
it's fine.
I think going to the wedding would have been. Oh, I mean, I can only imagine the drama that would happen if you went to the wedding, just because.
No,
because
I would have thrown hands on that teacher for one.
Well, yeah, like, and I just feel like it just would have been. It would have been interesting. You would have had some fucking stories if you had gone to the wedding.
Glad I'm not going, I guess. But
yeah. Maybe for the best.
So positive. Sorry, family, who just listened to all of this and hates me even more now.
You didn't say anything that bad. You didn't say anything bad about your own family. Just about that teacher. She's not related to you.
No, thank God.
Yeah, see? So there we go. Fuck that teacher.
I feel bad for her kindergartners. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. I can imagine. Like, yeah, to be, yeah. And she needs to maybe enhance her sex life a little bit more, too, I think it sounds like.
Oh, another thing. So she had a ring pop. We all had ring. This is kind of gross, but we all had ring pops that first night or whatever. And she had a blue ring pop and I had a green one or whatever. At brunch the next day, she still had a full-on blue tongue. And she's like, oh my God, how is my tongue still blue? I was like, because you don't fucking brush your tongue or brush your teeth. Like, it was just really awkward. And I kind of looked around and everyone just kind of looked back and I was like, no one's going to say anything, but that was weird.
Okay, when I was saying that she needs to enhance her sex life and then you start talking about a ring pop, my mind was going all types of places and not that, but I'm glad that it just went there, but that is pretty nasty. So, yeah. She sounds like a winner.
When I don't like people, you really know I don't like people. I think oh, that's yeah, the end you, of the story. Yeah.
You don't hide it at all.
I can't.
Neither do I, so I understand that.
Anyways, let's move on from being negative.
All right. Well, as you know, because last episode we asked for people to call into the DKS hotline, we got a few calls and we'd like you to keep calling in. We'd like to have a nice roster of calls that we can go through. That number, you can call in right now. You can pause the episode and call in and leave us a question about your, you know, anything related to dating, sex, relationships, travel, whatever, like anything you just might want to talk about. We did get one that we're not going to air that was a compliment. It was just someone who just called in to say, I love you guys and, you know, nothing to ask, but thank you for doing the podcast. You know, I listen to every episode, so that was very nice. I want to say thank you to that one. But you can call right now at 407-519-0181. And that is our voicemail line. And just leave a voicemail with your question, and we will go through them. And we're going through them and playing them on air and answering them. And so if you haven't done one, we'd love for you to do one.
It's our new review. If you haven't done one yet, please do.
That's right. That's the new review. So this one here, it comes from an anonymous woman who left it. And so let's go ahead and listen to her question.
Hey, Adam. Hey, Sarah. So I am a woman in my late 30s, if it matters, never been married. I am single, and I have recently started dating a friend of mine. We've been friends for about a decade. This is the first time that we're both single at the same time, and after some hemming and hawing about it, we decided that, you know what, we're going to give this a try. And so far, so good, except that I'm realizing how different we are, which I knew beforehand, but I guess it never bothered me. When we were just friends, for example, we have very different tastes in movies and TV shows. We have very different day-to-day schedules. We have very different political views. He keeps his house at a freezing cold temperature, and I am always cold when I'm over there. You know, things that never really bothered me when we were just friends, but now that I'm looking at a potential future, I'm like, are these deal breakers? Maybe these are things that cannot be overcome. But at the same time, we have great conversations. We've never, you know, we always talk about how we never really run out of things to talk about. We get along really well. He's allergic to cats, and I love cats. The idea of not having cats in my house in the future makes me kind of sad. But yeah, so I guess my overall question is, how much do you need to have in common with a partner? How much can you compromise versus how much just needs to sort of align better? Later.
Well, I definitely don't think any of the things you mentioned are actual deal breakers. Adam, I know you're going to say politics is probably one, but overall, it just sounds like those are potential bumps in the road that you'll have to talk through and then find compromises to make your relationship just flow a little better. And I don't think it's a problem that you don't have a lot of things in common either. Sometimes it's good to be your own person, have different interests, and then when you come together, things are good because overall, you're having good conversation. It seems like there's mutual respect and trust. So not everything has to be the same or perfect. I think you learn and grow more in a relationship when you don't always see eye to eye on things, but you're knowing that you're working toward a common goal.
And yeah, I will disagree to a couple of those things, but I mean, I would say like everything, like, you know, keeping the house cold and you're always cold when you're over there. I think that's like almost like a stereotype that men keep the house colder than women, and women
really?
Are always freezing. I feel like it is. It feels like it's just one of those things that women are always freezing and men always have, like, you know, just they're always hot blooded or something. So like they always keep the AC cooler. I don't know, unless you're like a dad and then you keep the AC at like ridiculous, stupid temperatures because, you know, you got to pay the electricity bill. But like, I feel like there's just this thing, this mentality. And so like, that's not really a big thing. And having different day-to-day schedules, I mean, that can be a little frustrating for seeing each other, but you're not living with each other. And so, you know, you make the time to see each other, which is where I think the two things that do sound a little bit of an issue to me. One would be the politics, and that is important. It wouldn't have been important 5-6 years ago. I don't think it would have been such a big deal, but now it's shifted to such a degree that if you differ on politics, then you essentially are differing on human rights and bodily autonomy and women's right to exist. And
I mean,
right,
I agree with you there, but I'm saying you
right
could have
marginalized and oppressed groups to exist.
But I'm saying you could still have, you might not see eye to eye right now, but you could still have intelligent conversations about where you stand and educate one another on your point of view.
Maybe. But if someone doesn't think that you should have the right to bodily autonomy, then where is their common ground to start with?
Fair. You know, like, I mean, I maybe like, he's, you know, he falls some things that are
yeah,
more
maybe he's a libertarian,
other...
which means he's a fucking pussy.
Okay,
he doesn't
I'm
actually,
not...
Okay,
that's not helpful. Go on.
Who won't make a fucking choice about his actual political leanings. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, yes, libertarians are worse than Republicans, in my opinion. So, okay, but so that can be. It depends on the actual political, you know, on the actual political views. But the fact you mentioned that, but and it's funny that it, even more than that to me is having completely different tastes in movies and TV shows. Like, I almost feel like that's a bigger deal breaker because in
that's
your
not
limited
a deal
time,
breaker. Come on,
in the fact that you have limited free time because of your schedules, it's like, you know, catching up and, you know, watching a show together or going to the movies or like, you know, just snuggling on the couch and putting something on is a good way to spend time with each other when you have limited time together. And if you can't agree on, you know, what you like to watch, then that could be an, I feel
it's
like
that
for
that
me
deep.
That would be
it's
that would be
that
an
deep.
Issue.
No, it's saying, I haven't seen that before. It might interest me and watching it. It's not like they might like anime and you might not like anime. So that's just something he won't play around you. But there's other things that you
libertarian
could play.
Who likes anime. So you like
my
that just seems.
God. I give up.
But she says she has very different tastes in movies and TV shows. So, like, apparently it's very, very
but
drastic.
But you can learn to like some of those things or, you know, you try it out. Maybe. You say, not my thing. And then you find some other thing.
Then
that
you all
you
go
might...
off in your own separate rooms and watch your own separate shows and don't ever actually spend time together, I guess.
It's not a red flag. Like, it's not a deal breaker.
Not a red flag. No,
yeah, I misspoke. It's not a deal breaker to me. I think it's an opportunity to learn something new about that person and see, this might be something I'm interested in. At least try it out. And if it's really not your cup of tea, then you search another genre and find other things you might like. It's not, Roy and I literally have fucking nothing in common. We don't like the same music. We don't watch the same fucking shows. We do now though.
That's the thing is like, you guys have started to like, yeah, because
now we do, but I had to like slowly ease it. And he had to ease it. There's shit that I like that he's never going to like. And I accept that. And he feels the same about certain things, but we've eased into, I'll give it a try. You know, I'll watch a couple episodes with you. And I think we've learned more about each other just from learning the different things and experiencing different things.
I mean, as long as they're open-minded to watching some of those things, maybe like into doing that. And yeah, the cats thing I think is no big deal either because like you can fucking take Claritin. Like if it's really important for you to have a cat and he's allergic, he can take Claritin. It's not, you know, even most people I know who have cats are allergic anyways.
Right.
Yeah.
And, Roy's allergic, yet he's fine with the cat.
Right.
So I don't know.
Roy likes the cat more than you do, I think.
Right. So I think people change for the better and can learn and grow.
Yeah. I guess.
Unless you're a libertarian anime watcher, I guess.
Is that your impression of? Is that your impression of me?
I feel weird not having a microphone in front of me. So I'm like, I have all this space to just act out like I'm Adam. I don't know.
Well, that's the funny thing too. So, you know, because you're in Chile, your internet is okay. It's not like 100%.
Yeah.
So every now and then, your video will freeze in like these really fantastic positions, like where your face is making these crazy faces. And I'm hoping it sticks that for the YouTube video
because
it'll be funny.
Okay. Cool.
But anyways, so Sarah and I don't necessarily agree completely, but we do agree that it's not. These are not, you know, necessarily deal breakers. This is, you know, without more details, but it does sound like this sounds like okay. It sounds like dating. And, you know, you can see later on if they're just not compatible, you know, as you progress. But right now it sounds like it's still okay. You don't mention anything about if the sex is good. And I think that's you know, kind of a part of this too. If you're having good sex, then a lot of that, you know, that helps, you know, ease the entry of the other things, I guess.
Yeah. Plus, you don't need everything to be perfect, and it's not like you're trying to have shit locked down in the next 6 months or whatever. It's just dating and figuring out what you like, so I don't think you need to make a call right now if you're happy with where you're currently at.
I agree. So thank you for the call, and if you also want to call in, you can call in with your question at 407-519-0181. And we are going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to have a segment, of course, What to See with Sarah G. in Savannah, Georgia.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
This week's What to See with Sarah G, as Adam said, we are exploring Savannah, Georgia. It's actually one of my favorite weekend trips, especially when I lived in Florida. It was about a four-hour drive from Orlando, so... You know, if you're flying in from when I was in Nashville or anywhere else on the East Coast, it's a really quick city to get to. And it just feels really romantic when you're in Savannah, just the manicured parks, the horse-drawn carriages, the cobblestone squares. I actually considered living here myself, but it's a little too small for me to live here long-term. But I think, like I said, it's the perfect getaway. Some interesting facts about the city. It was one of the first planned cities in the United States with the help of James Oglethorpe's. You'll notice that the city is actually laid out in a grid system with really wide streets and 22 squares located within the grid. And from that grid system, a lot of locals talk about, because of it, Savannah has actually been able to avoid a lot of destruction from hurricanes, just from the layout, the positioning of the city, because it's probably 20 minutes from Tybee Island and the beach area there, so definitely in the path of some hurricanes, but just fun fact there. And unfortunately, it is located in the south, and there are statues erected by the Daughters of the Confederacy that still exist today. The most notable is the Civil War monument that displays a Confederate soldier at the top. So just things to know before you visit Savannah. Don't let those things stop you, though. Let's talk about where to stay. I think if you're picking anywhere in Savannah, they're all going to be pretty solid accommodations. I've stayed downtown in hotels. I've also stayed at Airbnbs. They're pretty similar experiences. Of the hotels, though, the Kessler Collection Hotel Company has a great property called The Mansion at Forsyth Park, which, you guessed it, is right next to the notable park that you have to visit when you're in town. And the upscale design of the property and the clawfoot tubs are definitely benefits to the room, and it's just a little fancy. If you're wanting to stay around the Riverwalk area, which is surrounded by bars and restaurants and a little bit more foot traffic, the Hyatt Regency or the Bohemian Hotel are great options. Now, have your hotel stay, that's great. Let's talk about things to do. One of the most popular things I really like is that you can hop on and off of their trolleys, and this just kind of helps you get a better lay of the land, get some history, and just see what you like or what you don't like. This is something that Roy hates to do. I don't know. Do you like trolley tours?
Can you ever see me on a fucking trolley tour? Like, I'm sorry. Like, Roy, I'm with Roy on this. Like, I don't understand the point of them, but yeah, that sounds terrible.
I think they're fun. You can get something out of it. You don't have to walk everywhere, especially if you go in the summertime when it's hot and you want to go from place to place. You don't have to walk through everything. You could just hop on the trolley and hop off. And if you're into ghost tours, they also have a ghost trolley tour too. So you can check out the haunted areas of the city, or, you know, instead of walking through all the cemeteries at night, you can just hop on and off if you get too scared, you know, maybe.
Yeah,
No, not for you.
I've been to the cemeteries, but yes, I'm never doing a trolley tour in my life.
Well, I had to bring it up because it is a popular thing and I think it's fun. as far as places to eat, Griffin, I think it's called Griffin. I always fuck it up every time I go there. Griffin? Maybe it's Griffin.
Probably Griffin, but it might be.
I'm not sure. It's right next to SCAD and it's my favorite place to eat in Savannah. The building itself used to be an old pharmacy, and inside is filled with wooden bookshelves, stained glass, and an upscale seating environment. I took my mom and my brother here for brunch and tea time, and we both had, separately, and we both had an absolute blast. So make a reservation if you don't want to wait and you want to make a visit there. Tea time is extremely popular, and it's the perfect environment for tea. And they serve your check in a little book, too. I know that other places do that, but I was impressed by that the first time. I was like, oh, my check's in a book. Another great food option is the Collins Quarter. It's a pretty popular spot, but for good reason. You can visit here for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and they have two locations in the city. And then if you're wanting to hit up the bar scene, be sure to visit Abe's on Lincoln. It definitely has a divey feel, so I think Adam will really like it here. But why it gets the name Abe's on Lincoln, well, it's on Lincoln, but there's a bunch of hand-drawn pictures of Abraham Lincoln pinned up all over the bar through. You just grab a cocktail napkin and get to drawing Honest Abe, and your artwork will be displayed on the bar. That's kind of cool. And then outside of bars for me, because I know Adam has some recommendations, you can honestly spend hours walking or biking around the squares of Savannah, which I highly recommend. While you're wandering, be sure to check out the Cathedral of John the Baptist. It's the oldest Roman Catholic church in the city. And while services aren't going on, you can take a step inside to view the beautiful stained glass windows, bronze columns, and archways. It's actually, for me, I was like stunned when I saw it there. I've never been to New Orleans, but I feel like it's kind of similar to just like the size of the big church in New Orleans. Yeah, I'm probably wrong, but I don't know. I was just really impressed by how high the arches were and how regal it felt. So check that out. And not too far from that church is actually Forsyth Park, which I mentioned earlier. I also know this is like the engagement spot if you want to go to Forsyth Park and then propose in front of the fountain. I don't know if that's on your to-do list, Adam. So there's an engagement idea there, but of course, if you're not there to propose to anyone, on any given day, you can sit down at the benches, find local art vendors filling the sidewalks and local artists, and just rest your feet and enjoy the fountain. It's a and then, you know, the fountain during St. Patrick's Day. I know we just passed St. Patrick's Day, but Savannah actually turns all of the fountains green, which is another cool thing. So if you're there during that time of year, you can see the green fountain. And then down by the Riverwalk, be sure to visit Savannah Bee Company. This shop offers fun products made from local honey, but in the corner of the store, you can taste some of their meads for around $10 a tasting, or at least that's what it was when I visited. But those are some of my favorite places to visit in Savannah, Georgia.
Savannah is pretty great. I've been there a few times, once with a girlfriend, and then a couple times with doing comedy, and then once with a friend during the pandemic. During the middle of the pandemic, we decided we had to get out of town, and we went there. And so not everywhere was open, but there was a great bar there that we did comedy called Chuck's. And it was fantastic. And I used to do comedy there all the time and really loved it. But then they closed, unfortunately, and that was very sad. Couple places to stay, I would say Hotel Indigo. I stayed there right in the heart of downtown. It's like really easy to get wherever you want to go with just within walking distance. And that's my walking distance, not Sarah's version of walking distance. It's very different. And I was comfortable walking wherever I wanted to go. And then the hotel was nice. But then I also stayed at the Hyatt right on the Riverwalk, which was incredible because Riverwalk was great for just the restaurants. There's a place called Huey's, I think, that has really good food and then a little pricier, but good. But drinks wise, we went to, I remember like Bernie's Oyster House, went to the Bayou Cafe, Warehouse Bar and Grill, which I'm pretty sure was going into renovations. Then the place called the Jinx, which is a music venue. And we were there during their last couple days of opening. And then they're reopening a new venue, but you should check that out. And then there's the old Pink House, which is probably one of the more famous restaurants in Savannah, I would say. You have to make reservations to eat there. It is definitely kind of a higher scale, a little bit higher price. But it's really good food, fantastic food. And, I don't even remember what I ate, but I loved it. And I remember our when I was there drinking during the pandemic, our first night we were out till 4 in the morning.
And then we got up around like noon, like we need something. So we were looking for somewhere. We found this place called Molly McPherson's, which is like a Scottish bar or Irish bar. We go in there to have a drink, and then they had a food menu, and they had these Scotch eggs that were like the best Scotch eggs I've ever had in my entire life. And I will remember that. Like, I want to go. You don't know what a Scotch egg is?
No.
You take an egg and you, I think they poach it, and then they deep fry it. And then they usually deep fry it like two or three times.
Deep fried.
So it's like, yeah. So you cut it open, and it's like the, yeah, it's got egg and breading, and the breading is like usually really flavorful. So yeah, Scotch eggs are incredible. But this one, like, they made the best Scotch eggs we've ever had, and it saved us so that we were able to keep drinking all day.
Of course,
day two. So that was good. And it was good for the cured our hangovers, and it was fantastic. And there's lots of cool little cemeteries and that I went through and took a lot of photos in, and lots of cool parks, as well. But I really like the Riverwalk, because Riverwalk, you can just go up and down. There's bars and restaurants. There's a lot of touristy shit, like, you know, like the fake touristy crap, like almost like Daytona Beach has, where like, it's like every place that has the same mass manufactured, like, trinkets and things like that. But within there, there's some really cool little shops too. And I remember there's like a two-story bookstore that's right off the Riverwalk that's really neat, that's just packed full of used books. So if you like secondhand books, you should check that out as well.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a perfect little weekend getaway, especially if you already live on the East Coast of the U.S.
And if you've been there before and you're looking for more to do, Charleston's only like an hour away. And so you can actually go to Charleston while you're in Savannah, which is what I did one week at, and then go to, you know, go spend a little bit of time in Charleston, have lunch, and then come back to Savannah too. So like, it's nice. You can kind of visit two cool towns in one.
Yeah. Well, there we go. We just traveled to Savannah.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's close out this part and we'll get back to arguments. Are they toxic or just hard to communicate with?
So I am a huge proponent of just cutting people out of my life if I find that they're toxic. If I feel like they don't have any value, that all they contribute is drama or stress or just anxiety, any type of like emotional upheaval, and they're just not worth it, that they don't provide anything that makes me want to stay friends with them, that I reached a point years ago where I was like, I can cut those people out, and it saves you so much sanity, like just in mental health to be able to do that. So thought it might be interesting to talk about, you know, when do you know if someone's toxic? Like, how do you figure out if, you know, you get into a discussion with a friend, and this can be about relationships or friendships. And is it something that it's just a fight? Is it just like, okay, you just disagree and everything's going to be okay? Or is the other person toxic and it's time to cut them off and get them the fuck out of your life? So that's kind of where this topic idea came from.
Yeah. And I think it's harder to know if somebody is toxic or if it was just an argument the first go around. And when you slowly compile, that fell off. I didn't like how they said that. Or this argument seems to linger on after I thought this was resolved. Then I think you can make those decisions and say, yes, that person is toxic. I should not have them in my life anymore, friendship or relationship.
Yeah. And it also depends on, I think, the, you know, like, what is the fight about and how does it get resolved? Are there times where maybe you've bit your tongue when there should have been a fight as well?
Yeah, that's things like a good that point. That can,
That can kind of help you decide if, you know, like, maybe this has just never been a good dynamic. Now, of course, there are ways to know if someone's toxic, even if there's no fight. You know, if it's just one of those things where every time they show up in your life, they blame you for something, they attack you or something like that. Obviously, that person is just a toxic person. There's no point in even, you know, you're not getting into a fight. They're just constantly on the attack and you're constantly on the defensive. That's just not somebody that you want to be around. And that can be family members. It can be whatever. And I think that we have to learn as human beings, we're kind of taught to tone police ourselves and, you know, accept people because of X, Y, and Z, whatever. We've always been friends, or I've known them for so long, or they're my uncle's cousin by marriage, or, you know, like whatever excuse we
give
ourselves.
Whatever history you went through. Yeah.
Right. And it's okay to reach a point and be like, no, they're just fucking toxic people and they are not worth even getting, you know, like, they're just not worth it. And they're going to, you don't have to keep them in your life. And I think that is a decision that when you make, you start to feel so really empowered about, maybe some control you have over your life a little bit too.
I mean, for me, like in an instance, it was like waking up one day and being like, holy shit, I let all of these things slide in the past because I was keeping up with the relationship, and that was just what the relationship was. And that was our normal of comments would be said. I wouldn't find it to be passive aggressive, you know, things like that where it's like, well, that's not a big deal, or, oh, that wasn't really a fight. That's just kind of who they are. And then whether it's a blowout conversation where you're like, oh, what the fuck? How do we recover from this? Or it's you've hit that breaking point of them doing it so many times where you're just like, you can't ignore it anymore. And that's when you realize, yeah, not a good person to be in my life.
So let's maybe a good thing to discuss would be for each of us maybe to talk about a time that we've maybe cut somebody out, and like what led to that. You want to?
Yeah, I mean,
start with that.
I mean, I recently ended a friendship last September, and it was a friendship of 15 plus years, and I thought that person would always be in my life, and unfortunately, now looking back, I see things that was said about my partner that was said about my character, just like poking fun at me, like, and kind of tearing me down in certain ways that I always thought it was like fun and catchy or like endearing because they cared about me, and they're just jokes. It's not that deep. It's just all fun and games. And then unfortunately we had a huge blow up fight, and my body had processed it before my mind did, because as we were going through the fight, it's like either fight or flight. We were arguing and I was like, I gotta get out of here. And as soon as I left, I just hit a wall of tears and emotion. And then I realized, this is the last time I'm ever going to see this person. We're done. Like, even though the argument just happened 2 seconds ago and it could have been technically recovered, I knew right then and there, like, you've had enough of this. Like, and then,
right.
then it all came rushing back of, yeah, this, and this. Like, I already knew deep down that it wasn't right, but I just needed that one blowout moment to really solidify that this is over. And whether that person sees me as the toxic person or I see them as the toxic person, we just didn't, at the end, you know, it might have started out okay in a healthy relationship. We didn't end well. You know, the last couple of years of our friendship just weren't as great as what they should have been. And that's okay to grow and be a different person years down the road. And there are people you can grow with and learn from and like continue that friendship or relationship. But if you're making fun of that person for growing or taking digs at them for taking a different path and, you know, doing things a little different from when you first met them, that's a sign that like maybe you shouldn't be friends with them, you know, like if you're constantly criticizing them or whatever. So yeah, I just think it was hard to identify at face value that it was a toxic environment to be in until like my eyes were just open from one massive fight.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that sometimes is what it takes. I had a blogger friend years ago that we used to just be mutual friends. We would chat all the time, just like get along, I mean, very well. Would see each other. She lived in Los Angeles, so we'd see each other at conferences, basically. We'd be the only time we'd really see each other. And we would have a blast. Like, we would basically, like, just go out and drink and hang out and just, you know, and she was always, like, filled with all the tea on all the other bloggers and what's going on. She always knew everything that was going on with everybody. And, you know, and she had, you know, and she had some harsh words for some people sometimes, but, you know, it was like, it wasn't me, you know, and it was fine.
Right.
And so we'd hear her, you know, she would gossip about all these people and I'd be like, oh, this is great. And then she actually was in Florida for a conference and introduced me to Jessica, who I ended up dating. And that's when I was dating, Jessica lives in San Francisco. And so I would fly to, I guess actually she lived in the Bay Area too, didn't she? Not in LA, but anyways. And so I would fly to San Francisco and we were doing kind of the long distance thing. Mm-hmm. And that's when I had that period where she, stopped replying to me. And I've talked about this before where my anxiety went off through the roof and I like called her and left her like 100 messages. And I was just like, please just let me know what's going on. And just like, you know, flipped out and everything like that. And it had started feeling weird with this other person. Her name was Jenny, this person. And Jenny, I remember one time I was like, they were all going out and sending me pictures that they were all going out in the Bay Area. And I was like, oh, have fun. I said, wish I could be there.
or whatever. And I said something and give her a hug for me or give her a kiss for me or something like that. Give Jessica a kiss, the girl I was dating. And Jenny wrote back and said, that's weird. I'm not going to do that. And just like I kind of weird about it. And I was like, all right, whatever. And then when this whole thing happened, all of a sudden, like Jenny started like just attacked me and just like started like attacking me online and personally, like back and forth, just saying, you know, that was, you know, just like basically like turning what was happening, which was me having an anxiety attack because Jessica decided she didn't want to reply to me, into something that was like just much worse, into like this huge overblown thing, and started like really attacking me. And then I found out that she was like, I heard from all my friends that she's like going around telling everybody like everything that she and I had ever talked about, like all of our like things. She basically was sharing the same things, the same gossiping and, you know, stuff like that. And it made me realize that if someone's willing to gossip about everybody, then they're going to gossip about you. Like if they're willing to be really shitty about all, you know, all these people, then they're going to be equally shitty about you. And they probably have been from the beginning. You just didn't know it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so finally, you know, at one point I just realized, you know, I was like, I can't even like be an acquaintance with this person anymore. Like that last fight was like, you know, she wasn't willing to even listen or think about things at all. And, you know, and Jessica and I made up, like we talked to each other later. Jessica apologized for everything and that was it. But Jenny just continued to attack me. And so I was like, that is absolutely toxic. And I, you know, cut her out completely and actually cut out her entire circle of friends. Like anyone that she associated with consistently, I was like, that entire group, I can't even be, I'm not even going to try to be friendly to any of them.
What's the point? I'm not even going to talk to them. Tarnished your name and she's going to talk to
you. Well,
it's not
even but the thing is, I know that each of them probably eventually learned a lesson. And actually, I know that they did, because I know that Jessica came back to me later on when she apologized to me and said, yes, she found out that Jenny was talking shit about her, you know? And so like she learned too that, you know, that it was one of those things that she got kind of sucked into this like just vile circle of gossip. And so she eventually stopped talking to her as well. But yeah, I realized I just had to cut them all out and not even involve, you know, be involved in any capacity. And it was tough because, if, you know, because all of us being perpetually online, I have extra accounts and stuff like that. Well, I did in the fact that I cut them out, I blocked them and like that. But every now and then I'd still log in and like on my other accounts and go through and see if they were still talking shit about me that I didn't know about.
Yeah,
because I just like I was still trying to figure out what the fuck they were saying about me. But it was tough because I was also, I think, very at that point, very emotionally immature and very worried about, well, what are they saying about me? And do I have to correct, like I have to correct everybody and let them know what the actual truth is and everything, you know? And eventually I was like, you know what? It doesn't fucking matter. People who know me, and if people want to listen to her, well, that's their loss, you know? So that was an important lesson that I learned. And but cutting her out made my life so much easier. I no longer had to worry about anything she had to say. I think that made life so much simpler.
Yeah. That's crazy too, when you say, you know, what people are saying about you or checking their social media to see if she's mentioning you or whatever. And it's like, you're not, you and her know the story of what happened, and it doesn't do you any good to like prove yourself. It's just all this extra wasted energy for what? It's not going to get that friendship back. It's not going to fix the problem. So why be involved in it? I think it's easier now being older and like more mature about it, but like younger in my earlier 20s, I would be like, I want to save my name out there. I want people to know that I'm a good person. And it's like, back to what you said, if people know me, they know me. And like, if they want to listen to her, that's fine. But I know me and I know what happened and I don't fucking care about proving to somebody else.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, yeah, it was nice to kind of get rid of that. But that was an important, you know, important choice that I made. And I think that kind of informed later on over the years when I realized, you know, is this friendship or this dynamic worth preserving? And you start looking back and you're like, no, it's not. Like, this person is a toxic person. And I think one of the ways that we could know about this is, and this is what Jenny did to me, was if they try to use like anything that you've ever told, like they try to use your like anything you've shared with them, anything that's private against you, anything vulnerable that you've told them, anything like that, when they use your vulnerabilities against you, that's a good sign that they're toxic. Like, cause like, you know, if I knew something, you know, extremely personal, and like when you and I have got into arguments, it's never become a thing where we're like throwing back shit that we've talked about that is like personal stuff, because that's not like that. because I, at the end of the day, I still have respect and love for you, you know, like that's, and so why would I do that? Like that, that's what you do with somebody that you don't care about. That's, you bring up, you use somebody's vulnerabilities to attack them when you don't love them, you don't care for them and you don't respect them. That's
it's like you never cared. Someone. So why would you say something that hurtful then, you know?
Yes, damn. Exactly. And so that's a good sign to, of toxicity. And I think is, you know, anytime someone does that, and I think that's what a lot of in relationships, I'll see men post on TikTok that they're worried about sharing with their partner because it's going to be thrown back in their face. But I think women more often than men have that happen where they will share something like a sexual assault or something with a partner. And then that partner will throw it back in their face at some point. Like, you know, well, you know, I bet you blah, blah, blah. And like somehow make it their fault, blame them and make it into this thing. Like, well, that person never liked you if they did that. That person is not a good partner if they're willing to do that.
What's the point of having someone in your life if you're just collecting things to use against them? That's not fucking healthy at all for you to have the upper hand in what? Because you're not going to have a friend at the end of it. You're not going to have that person. So why would you want to? What, like, if you're that person, why would you do that? What do you gain?
Right.
Ego? Right. Say, yeah, oh, I'm better than them? I mean, fuck that. Who cares?
Exactly.
The other thing to me is, like, when you're arguing with someone who's toxic, it's the same fucking conversation, just a different font. It's like, oh, we're going to bring this up again, but spin another situation around it. Oh, we haven't ever, all these apologies and things in the past clearly weren't true, like we didn't resolve it because you can't let it go, or you have to keep bringing up these issues. And anytime you want to work on something with that person, it's like, well, remember when da 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 da? And it's like, okay, like that was 5 fucking years ago. Like, why are we bringing that up now? Like, I thought we solved that
right
before. No, like, why are you holding on to things that don't make any fucking like they don't matter anymore? We should be moving forward together, not focusing on some of the things in the past just to tally your score up that you're better than someone.
Right. I definitely think if someone is in a place where they, you know, you've had past fights and then they've said they're fine and things are okay and you've moved on and changed from it. Like it was a, you know, whether, even if it was like, you know, you came home too drunk that one night and peed in the closet or something like that. I don't know, which I had a friend who always would get drunk and pee in the closet. Like that's what he would do.
All right.
And he and his spouse would fight about it, you know, and then they'd fight about it. And then he's like, all right, you know what? I promise I'll never do that again. But then like a couple of years later, she brought it up again as if it was something that like he was still doing. And he was like, I took that to heart because it really bothered you and cause you care, you know? And so I made a change and I haven't done that since. And I think that when you bring up those old things, it's showing that you were being disingenuous about moving on in the first place, which means that you were just, you know, you weren't necessarily being a good friend or partner at all.
Yeah.
Because if you have unresolved issues, you should talk about them until they're resolved or, you know, until you personally can handle them.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be on the other person to make sure you're okay. You know, if you truly are like, yeah, I'm good, this is fine, we can move on from it, let that be the end of it and move on from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's one of those things, and I think that I had a friend whose partner was flirting with a girl on Instagram, and she caught him, and he apologized and said he, you know, wouldn't do it again. But then said, you know, that she was really concerned about it because he was kind of a fuckboy before she met him. And so she was like, I just don't know if I trust you. He goes, well, I'll make sure that you know where I am and I'll be in touch with you and stuff like that. But then every time, and he's like, that's fair because I love you. I want you to be, you know, happy. And then every time she'd be like, oh, so what are you up to tonight? He's like, why are you checking on me? Like, and he would like get very defensive about all of it. And then when he was a bartender, so when he wasn't, you know, like he would get off his shift and then wouldn't show up back at the place until like 6 in the morning sometimes. And she'd be like, well, where were you? And he would get all defensive again. And it's like, no, you know what? You're being toxic in that case.
Yeah, just tell me where you are. Just have the conversation. It's fine.
Yeah, he just kept getting defensive. And then it turns out he actually was cheating on her the whole time. Of course, because like that's how it is. But I think that you know, so I think that toxic people will get defensive. I think toxic people will get, they'll turn it around on you. They'll try to gaslight. You're going to see gaslighting. You're going to see manipulation. You're going to see them using the most painful things they can about you against you.
And building themselves up to be the superior one. Like they're the victim that They've done nothing wrong and they're the victim and you should be groveling. Even if it's on them for something, you'll never get them to actually say, you know, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. You know, it'll be, this is the other thing of just like an apology from like what I was explaining it like earlier. It was like the apology I got the day after was, I'm sorry you felt that way. I'm sorry I made you feel that way. Instead of just, I'm sorry for my actions. Like, inserting I'm sorry and then whatever random stuff isn't always an apology. You know, like, it actually has to be sincere. And if it's not sincere, like, that one wasn't. I'm like, I'm sorry I made you feel some way. I was like, that's not taking ownership for your actions or what happened. So you have to do that. Like, if it's going to be an apology, it needs to be a real apology. And if it can't be, then they're really not sorry. And it's just a Band-Aid for what's going to continue to snowball in the future for more toxicity.
Say the whole I'm sorry you felt that way is such a bullshit type of apology, because it's basically saying, you know, you're absolving yourself of any responsibility. And while intent does matter to a degree, how people take things is also important. And it's important to understand that if, you know, that you probably knew what you were saying if someone actually took it in a way that hurt them. It was very unlikely that it was completely unintentional. And if you're genuinely sorry, then you're not going to do it again anyway. So you're going to say, I'm sorry I did that. I'm sorry that what I did
shouldn't have gone that far. Should have.
Yeah. Or resulted in this. This wasn't, you know, I would never have done that if I had thought about that or realized that, you know, like that's the apology. Not I'm sorry you felt that way. I'm going to put the burden back on their shoulders.
It's just a dick thing to say. It's like an ego dick thing to say, just that sentence in general.
Oh, yeah.
So look out for it.
It's like, I'm sorry you had to overreact to what I said. You know, it's like this very douchey thing to say. Mm-hmm. I think you'll also find that with most toxic fights, that the person, what they're actually fighting about has nothing to do with the topic, that you'll either find out later or you'll know down in your subconscious that it's entirely about them. That it's about something that they are defensive about. It's about something that they are embarrassed about, something that they are hiding, something that they are, whatever they're accusing you of is something they're doing. Like it's always some type of projection or defensive action. And that's toxic behavior.
Yeah. Use for control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think another thing is just like, if you're not only fighting about the same thing, but it's constantly screaming and crying and so much emotion on things instead of actually having a conversation about a disagreement, and it goes from 0 to 1,000 in 2 seconds when one thing goes wrong and you're like, bro, what the fuck, like why are we getting like so heated right now, how did we get there? I think that's a pause of going, okay, is everything okay here? Because it doesn't seem like it. That might be a toxic situation that you're in.
And you know, and that's true. And I think that it's also important to remember that sometimes toxic doesn't mean that someone is, doesn't mean like they're like a narcissist or doesn't, it just means sometimes that they're just toxic emotionally. Like they're just, they don't have the emotional intelligence or depth to handle things, to be a real adult or to be in a relationship or even a friend, a good friend, which means that every time you try to talk to them about something, they get hysterical. And they go, like they said, they go into hysterics about it. It all turns into screaming and crying. And they're like, I can't even talk about this. And if they don't have the even emotional toolbox to work through it on their own, that's toxicity in its own way. It doesn't, you know, it might mean that they just have really bad anxiety and so they can't handle it. They can't handle talk about things. And the anxiety is not their fault, but how they deal with it and how they let it affect other people is their responsibility. And so if someone is so incapable of even having an adult conversation, that can be a toxicity of a different level. And that's it's also okay. You don't have to feel bad. I mean, you can feel bad for them, but you don't have to coddle them. You don't have to like welcome them back just because they can't emotionally be mature enough to talk to you about it. You can also cut them out of your life, and it'll solve so many problems in your life if you do.
Yeah, you'll notice that your life is so much better and things will just align easier once they're gone. Like the added stress of going, oh, they're upset and they just can't even talk about it right now. Well, maybe I need to take a pause. It's like, no, like I handled myself with the right tone, with the right, like, mentally I'm like ready for this conversation. And when they spiral out of control, saying they can't talk about it or this is too much, screaming, yelling, whatever the fuck it may be, it's like, I'm calm about this, can have a discussion. If you can't, then like we can't even have an entry communication level here on this discussion. So I'm just going to literally leave then, because there's no point.
And if you have to pause it and then, but then you come back and they still can't do it. Like, that's the thing is like, so because maybe someone might get overly emotional and you're like, okay, we'll talk about this later. And, but when it comes to later and you try to talk about it, I'm like, oh, do we even have to talk about that now? Like, and like they keep pushing
they think
it
it's
off.
Fine, or they're like, time has
deflecting,
healed this.
You know, they're not willing to discuss something that is a legitimate issue, then that's not healthy. And so that's when you have to like really assess whether or not that person is worth keeping in your life.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of plays into the silent treatment to a degree too. I mean, if they're mad and then they silent treatment you and then they just never bring it up again.
Yeah.
I mean,
although I don't think that means toxicity. I think it does mean processing. As long as it's something that eventually gets resolved, I think that's important, because okay. We all know that Sarah.
Well, that's what I do, and I feel like sometimes it's seen as like the immature thing to do, and I'm not saying it's always the mature thing, but it's like sometimes I need to see outside of just like my perspective and take a step back, and that's happened so many times with like frustrations with Roy on things, and I'm just like, I'm mad about this and I can only see my point of view and we're arguing and I just like, you know, I'm just like, okay, I can't talk about this anymore because I have to think like, where does he stand? And like, I'm not going to get that answer by us arguing. So I need to just leave and process. And then, you know, hours later, come back and say, okay, I had time to think about this. I can understand where you're coming from. Here's where I'm coming. And like, actually have a normal conversation, an intelligent one, versus like spiraling and just like not doing anything that's helpful.
Right. I feel like you've gotten better about it too over the years.
I mean, now that I realize it's like a level of it is maturity for sure. And then the other level is like trying, I know that if I say something, I can't take like something nasty, I can't take those things back. So it's like, well, before I say something nasty and not understand how that person might be feeling, maybe I need to take a seat and think about what I want to say to collect my thoughts, not in like a, I'm not ready to have this conversation, but in a like, save my ass, like not say anything like super hurtful just off the tip of my tongue. Cause those things can't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing that I do that's worse is I get very condescending when I get into fights. I use my basically authoritative that I'm already authoritative and I just will get extremely condescending in the way that I approach things, just because like it's just such a cheap way to win an argument sometimes. And and I think that's something I don't do very often, but when it does happen, that's what I tend to do.
Yeah. I think overall, like if you're if it's just an argument and it's like a healthy argument where you're not seeing side to side, there's some emotion built in there. I think if you mid argument try to say like, I see what you're saying, but here's where I'm at, or you use some language to say like, I don't fucking hate you, I don't think you're a shitty person, we're just disagreeing on this thing, how can we solve it together, then that's normal. Like, that's normal. Everyone's going to have arguments over little things here and there, but it's stating like, I'm not attacking your character, I'm not diminishing you every word coming out of my mouth. It's like, I respect you, I just don't understand why you feel this way right now. Help me understand. That's okay.
Yeah, I think if you're seeing any signs of empathy during the discussion from either side, then it's unlikely that it's toxic, because the person is trying to express themselves while also trying to see your perspective at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the healthiest type of fighting that can happen. Obviously, arguments are going to happen no matter what. They do happen. And it's important. The most important thing is that if you reach a point that it's about to get to an argument, that you feel comfortable expressing yourself, you feel safe expressing yourself, and that you know that if who you're expressing yourself to is going to take it seriously and listen. And I think those are the important things, that if you feel that way, even before you go into a fight, that you know that you can like, hey, I need to talk about this, and you know, it might turn into something, but you're still comfortable and safe enough to do it, then it's not toxic. And I think that's kind of like a subconscious way to know. But if you're terrified about bringing it up because of what might happen, then that's a really good sign that it might be a toxic environment.
Yeah, that's so true. And obviously, I know we didn't say this, but anything that gets physical toxic.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we did mention that. I think that kind of goes without saying, but I'll mention it.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, there's any type of physical violence at all, then that's very, very, very toxic immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So. I think it's, at the end of the day, it's like easier said than done for some things, but I think over time you might care about that person, but notice trends and arguments or the way that they make you feel or subconsciously, but like you said, before you get into an argument with that person and you kind of gather all of that information up and go, something's not right here.
Right.
Let's remove myself, or remove that person, or remove myself from the situation because it doesn't make me feel good, and I can't actually have an honest conversation with them or argument with them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we covered that pretty thoroughly. You got anything else you want to add to it?
Cut the toxic people out. I got nothing else. Yeah,
that's right. Cut them out.
Good
cut
thing.
Out. What's a
cut it
what's
out?
That Dave. What's that? Dave Coulier. I can't believe we just thought of the same thing.
Cut Full House, out. Baby. I know that one.
Oh, that's what it is. Full House. There yeah, that's right. I knew it from somewhere. Yeah. No, I think that you know that's really the extent of it. Is if it comes down to it, cut them out. And I think that's the you'll make your life much easier.
Yeah. Well, if you have a toxic situation that you're in or want to share just an argument you had and you need help talking through something, you can always call our DKS hotline. That number is 407-519-0181. And we'll always do that in the first part of the show and kind of talk through whatever you're going through.
Yep. You can also email us. We've got a couple of emails recently that we're also adding to our queue to talk about. And that's a datingkindofsuckspodcast@gmail.com. You can always message us if you want to DM through Instagram at either our personal Instagrams or at Dating Kind of Sucks. And of course, if you know, you want to watch us and leave a comment on YouTube, because our YouTube comments are always lovely, because YouTube commenters are the scum of the earth.
Your shorts.
Oh, my YouTube shorts that I post piss off so many people, because I put my TikToks up with YouTube shorts, and there's all these little crusty ass, unwashed incels who leave comments all the time, and it's so great that they are all like little turds. But yeah, you can leave positive comments if you want at youtube.com/datingkindofsucks.
And if you want to show support to DKS Podcast, you can join our Patreon for as little as $5 a month. We do after each episode bonus episodes and put fun content on there. That's patreon.com/DKS Podcast.
So we've been pretty good about having bonus episodes at least once a month, so that you know, you'll get at least a fun little behind the scenes. It's always people seem to enjoy them. You can join us on TikTok time. As well. I'm at Adam Evitable. Sarah's at @SimplySarahG_. And you can also join our Facebook group where you can get advice, talk with other people, offer advice. That's facebook.com/groups/DKS podcast.
Sorry, I froze. So I don't know. I was gonna mention we talked about religion the last time, but you can just cut all that out. You can cue us out, and I'll just, it's fine. I don't know what you said, so. Yay, internet.
Yay, Chilean internet. But also, if you're watching this or listening to this on iTunes, we would love for you to give us a 5-star rating or review.
Okay.
And of course, follow us on Spotify. But with that, with all that internet, which we're just keeping this in there, by the way, with it freezing like that, because it doesn't matter. It'll be fine. But thank you for joining us, and we will be back in probably 2 weeks with a brand new episode.
Until next time.
Whether you're married or single or poly or ace, or hanging out with swingers back at your place, listen to us as we give no fucks on Tinder and Bumble and plenty of yucks, trying and having no luck, because we all know dating kind of sucks. Sarah and Adam are two of a kind. He says stupid shit and she doesn't mind. They're not doing this show to make any bucks. Life as a chicken whose feathers they pluck. Why does it work? Well, here is the crux. They both know dating kind of sucks. Dating kind of sucks.